In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So happy Feast of Transfiguration. Tomorrow is the Feast of Transfiguration, and as you heard today, the reading of the Gospel, and tomorrow as well, it's going to be the same context of the Transfiguration. And happy Fast of St. Mary, of course. And in a few days, we're going to celebrate the Feast of St. Mary. And before I actually start my little topic of today, and I hope I'm not going to be too long and too boring for you. I just wanted to remind you of something very important, that the fast of St. Mary, it's very historical, this small event. The fast of St. Mary was the only fast that the people imposed on the church. In the history of the church, it's the only fast that the people ask the church to fast. And since then, we are fasting this as per the congregation's request in the history. And the amazing thing about the Feast of St. Mary is that it's called the commemoration of the ascension of the body of St. Mary, which means that the real date of the ascension of the body of St. Mary was the 21st of the month of Tuba. The 21st of the month of Tuba, while we celebrate the Feast of St. Mary on the 16th of the month of Misra. So do you think this is a mistake or what? Who does think that this is a mistake? Nobody can dare to say this is a mistake, of course. Now, what we wanted to say is that the 21st of the month of Tuba marks the departure of the Virgin Mary. The 21st of Tuba is the departure of the Virgin Mary. And the history of the church tells us that when her pure body was in the tomb, the apostles used to hear some hymns and praising for 3 days. And at the end of these 3 days was the ascension, the glorious ascension. It's okay. The glorious ascension of the body of St. Mary, joined with the choir of angels and our Lord Jesus Christ himself carrying her body to heaven. And on this day, which is 3 days after the 21st of Tuba, which is the 24th of the month of Tuba, in this day, St. Thomas was carried by the Spirit on a cloud from India to Jerusalem. What a long journey. And he was carried by this cloud, and he heard this request from the angel that, hurry and take the blessing of the pure body of St. Mary. And when he came back and told the apostles about this, he was the one not witnessing the resurrection and doubting the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he told them that this is what I saw. And they prayed that the Lord may reveal to them what indeed happened with the body of St. Mary. And on the 16th of the month of Misra, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ appeared in heaven, having on his right hand the pure mother, our Theotokos, St. Mary. And this apparition is the 16th of the month of Misra, and that's why we commemorate the commemoration of the ascension of the body of St. Mary as per the apostles' wish and prayers. May her intercession be with us all. Amen. It was very hard, actually, for me to think, talking about transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ or talking about the virtues of St. Mary, and they both come along in a very blessed month, the month of Misra, the month where the church reminds us with the end of our journey and prepares us to the eternal journey. And that's why the readings of the Gospels since the very first Sunday of the month of Misra till the end, it revolves around these concepts, the preparation for the last journey. And with God's grace, I wanted to contemplate actually with you, not only in the virtues of St. Mary, but the concept of virtues in Christianity, in our Christian life. We all know that the numerous virtues of St. Mary are innumerable. And we can count tens, even hundreds, of all the virtues, because as the fathers spoke about her, namely St. Cyril the Great, the defender, as they call it, of the Theotokos, the defender who clearly was a strong disciple of Christ, carrying this message to all the next, all the coming centuries up to our days now, that she is indeed the mother of God. St. Cyril described her as being the laboratory where the union happened between the humanity and the divinity. And all the Theotokias, all the prayers in the Book of Praises, are actually written by St. Cyril the Great, which makes us understand how deep was the knowledge of this saint to come with these specific and very theological terms to describe how pure and how important for the Church the concept of St. Mary as a part of the salvation. He called her that she is the way, the mean, God had access, God the Father had access to the life of the human bodies, to our life. And this brings us to the point of what is it a virtuous life in Christianity? إيه هي حياة الفضيلة في المسيحية؟ And the question revolves around the fact that we are in a society and in an age now where virtues are confounded and mixed with other aspects in life and with other cultures, with other religions. And often we end up thinking a lot, why does this person with these virtues, why couldn't he have access to heaven? He or she, they do have more virtues, and he is not even Christian, and maybe he's not even a believer. So what's the difference? Why can't I say that his or her virtues may lead her to the knowledge of God, or may lead him to the faith in Christ, the Son of God? The main idea is that we should first understand and be sure that virtues are the results of faith and not the vice and not the opposite. Which means, when I have faith in God, the virtues are the result of this faith. The virtues in our Christian life is how close we are and how abiding, to what extent we are abiding in Christ. The more we abide in Christ, we can bear fruit. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself said that you abide in me and I in you. And this way you can bear much fruit, and without me you can do nothing. So there is no fruit without abiding in him. We cannot understand a virtuous life without being part in his body, without being attached in his body. He described himself as being the vineyard, the true vineyard, and we are the branches. So if the branch is not abiding in the vineyard, how could it bring fruit? It could not, it's impossible. And this fruit, these virtues that we are aiming at having them one day, are described by St. Peter in his first epistle. I'm sorry, in the second epistle of St. Peter, the chapter 1, St. Peter said, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So the things pertaining to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of him. The knowledge comes first. the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, who called us by His glory and His virtue, it means, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Knowledge comes first, and virtuous life is a result. St. Cyril the Great, I'm going to quote him, it's from one of the books he wrote, it's called in Latin, the Dogmatum Solutioni, which is reveals around dogmatic issues. And he was in one of his famous writings about the incarnation and why God created us this way. He said, and He created us once more on His image, that the signs of His divine nature, expressed through holiness, righteousness, and virtuous life, may be revealed in us. Thus, the beauty of this image shines in those who are in Christ, as long as we conduct our life in righteousness and godliness. It's very clear that our virtues, or what we can call the virtuous life, is a result of knowing Christ, of abiding in Christ. And when we contemplate on the virtues of St. Mary, her humility, the obedience, the life of submission, the sacrifice, the sacredness of her heart, the holiness of her mind, all these virtues that we now see, sometimes we think that it's very hard to acquire some such virtues in our life. And these terms become gradually almost impossible to some of us. Or we relate them always to saints, to people who are really worthy of these virtues. But in fact, if we just contemplate the verse we just read from St. Peter, we can understand that by abiding in Christ, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Sometimes we think that I can do all things relate to executing things which are surreal or something that is over the natural potential. But I can also acquire virtues through Him who strengthens me. The virtue of forgiveness is a virtue related to how much I do love my Christ, that I may forgive unlimited. I can forgive to the end. There's no limit for forgiveness. The difference between me and a non-Christian is that having Christ in me, I can do all things. The understanding of the commandment of God was not through my power, it was through God's power. So God is working in the commandment to fulfill this commandment in us. Unless God is working this commandment Himself, we cannot fulfill it. Unless God is working in us, love your enemy and bless those who curse you, I cannot love my enemy nor bless those who curse me. If you ask anyone in the world and tell him, try to love your enemy, try to bless him who cursed you, we would be labeled abnormal people. But if having Christ in us, if growing to the knowledge of Him that end up with a virtuous life that bear fruit, yes, I can do this. That was the message exactly of St. Mary, the mother of all humanity, the second Eve, as we call it. Her message to all of us today and during these blessed days of the fast, that unless we have all our hearts consecrated to God and Him being the branch of life in our heart, the center of our heart, unless this is happening, we cannot really bear fruit. And the fruit we're talking about are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gave us the most precious thing. He did not give us, like other gods and other religions, earthly or physical gifts. He gave us Himself. He gave us life. And by giving us life through the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, He only comes and asks for this fruit. Remember the parable of the vine dressers we read a few weeks ago? It was exactly about this. He just asked for the fruit. And even He asked them, those He sent them to collect this fruit, He told them, bring me some of the fruit of the vineyard. Not the fruit of the vineyard. Don't bring me everything in the vineyard. He is the true vineyard. He is abiding in us. Just give me a few of what you're getting. We have a life, a joyful life in Christ. So why is it hard to bring peace, joy, long-suffering, etc.? The fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. Why is it hard for us just to give our Lord Christ these virtues, knowing that we cannot give Him this unless we are really one with Christ? And if we talk practically, although I hate this word practically, when we talk practically, being one with Christ, abiding in Christ, is to enjoy the communion with Christ, is to come and eat in this heavenly meal that is offered to us every week, having this mind and heart that I'm glad and I'm proud being one in Christ, enjoying, partaking with Him the divine nature. And what could be richer and promising than to be partaker of the divine nature with our Lord? This virtue was not given any time before, nor will be given in any other culture or religion compared to what Christ gave us. He gave us life, and He gave us to be partaker of this life, and He gave us to be inheritance with Him. He called us that we are heirs with Him in the kingdom of heaven. And actually, Moses the prophet, he had realized this long time ago, that unless I know God, I cannot bear fruit. He said in the book of Deuteronomy, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, the Lord will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God. That was after God told him that love the Lord your God from all your heart and all your mind, etc. He realized that I cannot do this on my own. So he said, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart to love the Lord your God with all your soul that you may live. So Christianity, beloved, it's life in Christ, and it's life and having Christ in our life. It's our life in Christ and having Christ in our life. It elevates actually the virtue from human level to the divine level. Why? Because we are an image of God. So all the virtues that we have is a copy, if you might say it, is an echo of these virtues in Christ. When we have the virtue of humility, we consider it as a virtue mirroring that of Christ. When we have the virtue of forgiveness or long-suffering or any other virtue, it's an echoing of what Christ had. And since He has these virtues by default as our God and our Savior, then if we abide in Him and know Him, the virtues that we can spend years reading about it that we found in our mother Saint Mary are not very far from being achievable by us, are not very hard that we can bear it as a fruit and give it as a nice and sweet aroma for our Father. There was a, actually it was not very joyful story, but I'm gonna tell you anyways. It's actually, it showed us how really God, He sees our hearts and how we see our relation with God as a true relationship, and especially during the liturgy. This story was actually said by one of the persons who has converted to Christianity a few years ago, and it was sent to His Grace Bishop Rafael in Egypt. And it's a very interesting story, but a very sad story in the meantime. It happened that this person was a lady, and after she got baptized, maybe 2-3 months after, and she attended one of the liturgies, and she used to sit at the very end, the corner of the church, and this was during a liturgy. So just she put her head on the bench in front, and she felt all of a sudden that as if she's in heaven. Abuna was praying, the deacons were reciting their hymns. While she had her head down, she felt as if she had it all over the scene, all over what's happening inside the church. She was having her eyes closed, but she saw as if she was having her head up, and she saw our Lord Jesus Christ standing here in front of the altar with a sad face, as if He's sad. And she looked at the church, and she found all the congregation raising up their hands and praying, but looking to the west, looking backwards, giving their backs to Christ, except very few. And by very few, she meant 4 or 5, not more. And she was really shaken by this weird revelation that happened. And she asked her father of confession, and he told her, "I think that our Lord Jesus Christ meant to show you that it's not the lips, or the hymns, or the words that I'm saying or praying, but it's the heart. God is looking for the heart of man." ربنا يعني يرحمنا كلنا طبعا ويعني يجعل صلواتنا دايما تبقى مقبولة عنده ويكون قلبنا فعلا مع الله مش يعني هذا الشعب يكرمني بشفتيه وأما قلبه فمبتعد عني يعني it's one of the very touching stories that made a lot of servants even in Egypt. I know few of them, they were talking about this story, starting a new, if you might say it, a new method to talk in the servants' meeting and to preach the word of God differently. Remembering the verse of Hosea that was repeated twice by our Lord Jesus Christ, that I desire mercy, not sacrifice. أنا أريد رحمة لا ذبيحة. So beloved, abiding in Christ, we bear fruit of this virtuous life. We offer this to our Christ, and we are happy that our Mother, St. Mary, intercedes on our behalf for this life, that God may fill our life with mercy, compassion, and forgive us all our sins. To Him is the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Söz epşirim efnoti av şopte ejem bito u en tavrun fere bi o ere bere bin of nem befioten nem bi em nevumatu abi sücentino Şahine arbürez ve vine ereye gunotin şosenim tirenti te otukuz marayath mavem ben sutirin defkanin no nane vol jefes marut jefiyot nem şiirem biyem ne umayet oğweb. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
In Christos Jesus, ben choice. Das Gehe verlasse Monte Kirchlin at the end of your so key, a prosumente mutual
إلى كلمة الآب الإلهي قطع كل رباطات خطايانا من قبل الآلام وكل نسب محياه الذي نفخ في وجه تلاميذ القديسين وقرر كل الصراطات قائلا Receive the Holy Spirit who sends you remit the remitted to them and those which you retain shall be retained. Now also we ask and entreat your goodness and love and mankind for your servants, my father, my brethren, my weakness, those who bow their heads before your holy glory, spend some to us your mercy and lose every mode of our sins. If I have committed any sin against you, angry, unknown, anxious, heart, and deed, and word, from faint heartedness, no master who knows the weakness of men as a good and philanthropic, and grant us the forgiveness of our sins. Bless us, purify us, make us absolved, and all your people absolved. Fill us with your faithfulness and us unto your holy goodwill. For you are our God, the glory, the honor, the dominion, the adoration are due to good Father, Holy Spirit, the life giver, who is one essence with you at all times. And unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Amen. Alleluia, doxa patri. Shoftelum bito on tavor sutiemon owa nainan. Smo pi e Christos penuti. Urunde tire numenan te kirin, semnenan te kirin, kanen oven ne voli thok te tigon, bi on, bi esmon, bi amahi. Shaini Amin, make us worthy to pray to you, thank for your Father who art in heaven. Amin, Ulan Mahabat Allah, Abdab al Kulan, Amit ibn al Wahid, Rabbil Akhris al Masih, Sharikat Nawheba, Tawatid Rakuz, the Kumagun, the Dunfikum. Salam, salam, yakun ma'akum. Ameen. We thank from all our hearts Una Victor Nash, priest of St. Mark Church in Montreal, for his presence tonight. And also we have good news. His Reverend will celebrate the liturgy tomorrow morning from 6 to 8.